notes this morning, all right? So you don't have the PowerPoint up on the screen to look at. So you just have to pay attention. Now, this is the Sunday after Easter. And we talk a lot about the Easter messages and the events surrounding the resurrection and all, and we should on Easter Sunday. And many times after Easter, we start just thinking about other things. Of course, we got revival coming up next week, and we'll be talking about that next week. But I don't want to, I just can't, like this past Wednesday night, finished up our study on Isaiah 53. And what a great time we had Wednesday night here. If you don't come on Wednesday nights, I feel sorry for you because you miss it. You really do. I came about that close to preaching Wednesday night. I really did. I mean, I was about that far. I mean, I almost kicked her into gear, and we were about here for two. In fact, got kicked in gear, we'd been here for an hour or two, I think. But it was good stuff. It was good stuff. But just can't leave Easter just on Easter Sunday. I mean, fact of the matter is, every Sunday is Resurrection Sunday. That's why we as a church, that's why the church gathers on the first day of the week. As opposed to the last day of the week, and it's because it was to celebrate the resurrection. Now, the resurrection of Jesus Christ is the foundation of the Christian faith. If there were no resurrection, we're going to read this in a minute, that we would have no faith. Paul gives a great defense of the resurrection here in this chapter. Chapter 15 is one of the great chapters of the Word of God, and he deals with the importance, starting in verse 1 where we were last week, of how important the resurrection is. And he gives a great instruction on this doctrine. But my question to you today is, and we're going to begin in verse 12 this morning. My question to you this morning is, why is the resurrection important today? Why is it important today? I want you to stand as we honor God's word, if you can stand. Chapter 15, 1 Corinthians, beginning in verse 12. Now, if Christ be preached that he rose from the dead, how say some among you that there is no resurrection of the dead? But if there be no resurrection of the dead, then is Christ not risen? And if Christ be not risen, then is our preaching vain. And your faith is also vain. Yea, and we are found false witnesses of God, because we have testified of God that he raised up Christ, whom he raised not up, if so, that the dead rise not. For if the dead rise not, then is not Christ raised. And if Christ be not raised, your faith is vain, you're yet in your sins. Then they also which are fallen asleep in Christ are perished. If in this life only we have hope in Christ, we are of all men most miserable. But notice verse 20. But now is Christ risen from the dead, and has become the first fruits of them that slept. Why is the resurrection of Jesus Christ important to us today? Father, thank you for your word. Bless us in these few moments we have together. Pray you speak to all of our hearts, strengthen our faith, encourage our walk with you. If there be one here today who has never trusted you as Savior, today would be their day to accept the fact, the glorious resurrection of Christ, and what it means to them and for their salvation. We pray in Jesus' name. And all God's people said, amen. You may be seated. Let me just give you three simple answers to that question this morning. Why is the resurrection important? Paul has laid out here a great defense, a great apologetic defense of the resurrection and why it is important. And I just want to summarize it. We're going to look at some other scriptures, so have your Bibles ready, and we're going to turn some places here to help you. But the reason the resurrection is important, number one, is because the resurrection of Christ, it's all about our past. It's all about our past. I want you to write down Romans 4 and in verse 25. And I'm going to turn to that and I'm going to read it. here in a second. Romans chapter 4 and in verse 25. It's all about our past. Paul writes to the Romans, and he said, if we believe on him that raised up Jesus our Lord from the dead, verse 20, who was delivered for our offenses, and he was raised again, notice this, for our justification. That is a word we talked about this Wednesday night in the Bible study slash sermon that took place here Wednesday night. Justification. That is that great biblical term that at the moment of our salvation, because Christ died on the cross and shed his blood, when we accept him by faith, Bible tells us here in these wonderful passages in Romans and other places that we have been justified. In other words, that means that God looks at you when you ask forgiveness of your sins based on your faith in Christ. He looks at you just as if you had never sinned. Now think about that for just a moment. That's something you can't do to anybody else. I mean, somebody can ask you, will you forgive me for something I've done? And you say, yes, I forgive you, but you can never look at them just as if they've never sinned. God looks at you, not what you've done in the past. He doesn't look at you about your old dirty, rotten life that you were before you got saved, but he looks at you just as if you had never sinned. Thank God for that. That's called justification. That means just as if you've never sinned. The reason the resurrection is important to us is because the resurrection takes care of our past. Boy, there was nobody like Paul who had a past like him. Think about it for just a moment. Raised in all the Jewish tradition. He went to the finest schools, had all of the education that you could have in those days. He was the cream of the crop. He was the top of the line. And he even had the authority and carried out the persecution of those who were following this man called Jesus. He was throwing them in jail. He was putting them in prison. He was having them beaten. And yes, he even ordered many of them killed. Notably, Stephen. He was the one who gave the orders. He was the one who authorized the stoning of Stephen in the book of Acts. Nobody could compare to Paul and his education and his background and his abilities and his knowledge of the Old Testament. But he carried out the persecution of the early church following the days of the disciples and carrying out the gospel. And I don't believe Paul ever got over all that he had done. And so if there was anybody who really appreciated the preaching of the gospel and what it meant to them, notice there in chapter 15 where we were, he says back up there in another verse, he says that I am the least of the apostles, that I am not meet to even be called an apostle because I persecuted the church of God. But by the grace of God, I am what I am. Thank God for that this morning. That's what we can all say. But by the grace of God, I am what I am. Understand this, folks. The resurrection of Christ takes care of your past. You don't have to worry about it. And when the devil comes reminding you of that, you can tell them that it's all been taken care of. Because God says he does not even remember it anymore. Did you know that God can forget things? According to the Word of God, he does. He forgets your past. He forgets all that you've done when it's under the blood. And thank God for that this morning. That's why the resurrection is important. Because it's about our past. Because he was risen for our justification. Notice number two. Not only is the resurrection about our past, but number two, the resurrection is important because it is about our present. It's about our present. Today. P-R-E-S-E-N-T. Our present. I want you to write down Ephesians chapter 1. Ephesians chapter 1. And I'm going to read verses 19 and 20. What is it about the resurrection that means it for us today? What is Jesus doing today? Since he rose from the dead, he spent 40 days, and Paul explains that in 1 Corinthians 15, and all the appearances and all the things that he did, and he ascended back into heaven, and we saw that in the book of Acts chapter 1. So what is he doing now? Verse 19 of Ephesians chapter 1, Paul says this, and what is the exceeding greatness of his power to usward, who believe according to the working of his mighty power, which he wrought in Christ when he raised him from the dead, notice this, and has set him at his own right hand in the heavenly places. This very moment, God the Son is sitting at the right hand of God the Father, making intercession for you and me. He's interceding on our behalf. He's up there taking care of, to God the Father said, God, this one right here. He's one of ours. He sinned, but he's asked forgiveness of it. God, I stand on his behalf here this morning. I stand as his advocate. In other words, he's our lawyer. He's the one that stands before the great judge and intercedes on our behalf. See, we can't approach God on our own. But hallelujah, since the cross, since the resurrection, we can come boldly before the throne of grace because our advocate, our intercessor, Jesus Christ, is at the right hand of the throne of God making intercession for us today. So every time you get down on your knees to pray, you say, God, forgive me. Jesus is standing at the right hand of the throne of God, sitting right there saying, God, I got this right here. I've got it taken care of. He's asking forgiveness. He's one of ours. He's come to faith. I stand on his behalf. I stand here on his behalf. I advocate for him. He's one of ours. Accept his. And God grants forgiveness because Jesus intercedes for us on our behalf. Boy, I tell you what, that's better than Matlock. Amen? Amen. Hallelujah. That's better than Perry Mason for some of you other generation of folks. Isn't that wonderful this morning? God is interceding for us. Now think how much he has to intercede for you every day. Multiply that upon millions and millions of believers every day. Well, Jesus is pretty busy, isn't he? I know I keep him pretty busy. And I know you do too. Think of it. He's interceding for our behalf. The reason the resurrection is important because right now, at the present moment, he's at the right hand of the throne of God. For you. He's doing it for me. Thank God for that. That's why the resurrection is important to us. Oh, Paul needed to know that someone was on his side. Paul needed to know as he went and preached to both Jews and Gentiles, those who wanted to kill him and stone him everywhere he went. And wherever Paul preached and when he went to a new city, he either had a revival or a riot or both, you know, take place. He needed to know somebody was on his side. I'm glad to know Jesus is on my side this morning. I'm glad to know he's present. He's right there standing and sitting at the right hand of the throne of God. Notice number three. The reason the resurrection is important. You might have figured it out. If it's about our past, if the resurrection is important because it's all about our present, then that means number three, it's all about our future. There you go. You're paying attention this morning. I like that. You're finally catching on. That's good. Took 15 years for us to get together, but we finally got it. It's all about our future. The reason the resurrection is important this morning is because it's all about our future. I want you to write down 1 Peter chapter 1. 1 Peter chapter 1. Oh boy, I tell you what. Peter, he, of all people, was just like Paul. When the resurrection took place, he didn't know what to think. Remember, he was the one that denied him. He was the one that stood on the night that Jesus was tried and cursed and even denied that he even knew him. Did it three times, just like Jesus said he would. Oh, but thank God about restoration, forgiveness. If there was anybody that understood it, it was Peter. Because it was after the resurrection, one of those seaside breakfasts, Jesus called his disciples together from the fishing all night. Had bread and fish on the fire and said, come and dine, come and dine. And as they're sitting around dining on biscuits and fish, Jesus looks at Peter and says, Peter, do you love me? He says, yes, Lord, I love you. He said, feed my sheep. He said, Peter, second time, do you love me? He says, oh, Lord, you know I love you. He said, feed my lambs. And he asked him a third time, in front of all the disciples, Peter, do you love me? And Peter just, you know, for the third time, he says, Lord, Lord, you know I love you. He looked around, he said, feed my sheep. Why did Jesus ask Peter three times, do you love me? I think it was very significant because Peter denied the Lord three times the night before he died. Peter was restored for service there with all those disciples. Peter had a past, but he knew presently the Lord was on his side. And now he talks about a future. And now that he'd been restored to ministry and service for God, let me tell you something. It doesn't matter what you've done, where you've been, God can take care of your past. Amen. He can put you in the ministry serving him for the future. Peter says in chapter 1, verse 1, in 1 Peter chapter 1, notice verse 3. He says, "Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, which according to his abundant mercy hath begotten us again unto a lively hope by the resurrection of Jesus Christ from the dead." A lively hope, a living hope is what that word means. And it's a living hope. Titus calls it the blessed hope and the glorious appearing of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. The reason the resurrection is important this morning is not just to save us from our sin, not just to give a stamp of approval for us to do something for him today, but the resurrection is important to us because we've got a future hope of our own resurrection from the dead. Those of us who will go by the grave and those of our dear brothers and sisters who have already gone before us. Peter continues that he has given us to an inheritance incorruptible and undefiled and that fadeth not away, reserved in heaven for you who are kept by the power of God through faith unto salvation, ready to be revealed in the last time. Peter is telling us there's a day coming, brother, when there's going to be a great reunion day. And those who have gone before us, you're going to see them again. But you're not going to see Mom and Dad like you did last time laying in a casket. Brother, you're going to see them in a glorified body. Amen. You're going to see them rejoicing in worship. You're not going to see them sick with cancer and sick with a disease. You're not going to see their bodies torn apart from some accident. You're going to see them glorified and worshiping God. And you're going to get to enjoy them for all of eternity. That's the future. That's the lively hope. That's the blessed hope that we have because of the resurrection of Jesus Christ. That's why it's important, because of our future and what we've got to look forward to. I'm glad to know that this right here is not as good as it gets. Hallelujah. I'm glad to know that this is not as good as it gets. This is nothing compared to what he's got prepared for us. This is nothing. And it's a future that we have to look forward to, a living hope by the resurrection of Jesus Christ. So what does all this mean? How do we put it into practical terms? And how do we walk out of here as we prepare for revival next week? As we go back, you guys go back, I'm sorry, go back to school tomorrow. Bless your hearts. I know you've enjoyed all this break. Isn't it great to get a break, Christmas and Easter and spring? But man, it's hard to go back to school. I remember those days. Bless your heart. It's hard. It's hard for us parents to get you up to go to school in the morning. I know that. So what is it we can take from this as we move forward? I think the greatest illustration of that is found with one of Jesus' own disciples. And you'll find that story in the last part of the book of John. I want you to turn to John chapter 20. I told you to keep your Bibles open this morning. I want to work those pages. John chapter 20, it's a story of where we find Jesus appearing to his disciples after his resurrection. And on the night of resurrection day, he appeared to the disciples in a closed room. They were shut up for fear of the Jews, and Jesus appeared to them. But there was one guy missing that night. One guy was missing out of the disciples, and it was Thomas. Those remaining 11 faithful disciples, there was one missing. So the other 10 go back to Thomas and say, "Thomas, you're not going to believe what happened. Man, Jesus is alive." And Thomas said, "I've heard that, but I just don't believe it." Notice in verse 24 of John chapter 20. "But Thomas, one of the 12 called Didymus, was not with them when Jesus came. And the other disciples therefore said to him, 'We have seen the Lord.'" Notice this. Notice what Thomas said. "But he said to them, 'Except I shall see in his hands the print of the nails, and put my finger into the print of the nails, and thrust my hand into his side.'" Notice that next phrase. "I will not," what? "Believe." Thomas made a little list right there. Three things. I've got to see it, I've got to touch it, and I've got to put my hands in his side.
I'll not believe it. Even all 10 disciples and all the women and all those were telling, we've seen the Lord. We saw the Lord. He's alive. Thomas said, forget it. I can't believe that. I can't believe that. That's why I know it seems unfair. He's been known as Doubting Thomas throughout history. Verse 26, notice this. And after 8 days again, his disciples were within. So here they are the next week. They're gathered together. And this time Thomas is with them. And then Jesus came, the doors being shut, and stood in the midst and said, peace be unto you. Then saith he to Thomas, and here we go. Notice this. Remember what Thomas said he had to do? So Jesus said, all right, reach hither your finger. Behold my hands. Reach hither thy hand and thrust it in my side. And be not faithless, notice this, but believing. So Jesus said, all right, fella, this is what you want? You said you weren't going to believe until you could do it? Here it is. You better be careful what you demand of God for in your life. You better be careful because you just might get more than you bargained for. I've heard people say, well, if God's real, then he'd do this. Or if God's it, he'd do that. You better be careful of stuff like that. God has a way of making a believer out of you the hard way. But he told Thomas, he said, okay, you wanted to see me? You wanted to touch me? Here it is. Go ahead. Have at it. Notice Thomas' response in verse 28. Thomas answered and said to him, my Lord and my God. Now wait a minute. He didn't say a single thing that he touched him, did he? There's nothing in the text, Brother Scott, that says that Thomas reached out and touched him or put his hand in his side. He didn't do any of that because he did exactly what the other disciples had done the previous week. They saw him and he believed. My Lord and my God. The reason the resurrection is important, folks, is because it can take a person who's a doubter and turn them into a believer. Because Jesus said, Thomas, because thou hast seen me, thou hast believed. Blessed are those who have not seen and yet have believed. The reason the resurrection is so important is because it can take doubting Thomases and turn them into believing disciples and apostles. That's why the resurrection is important. That's why everything that hinders around our faith is hindered around the resurrection. So you know what? That means you can go home today and say, God, I've got these problems in my life. God says, that's okay. I can take care of that. How do you know? Because I raised Jesus from the dead. If I can raise Jesus from the dead, I can take care of your problem. And by the way, I'm looking across. I don't see anybody dead in this building this morning. If you're dead, just let us know. We'll help you. We'll get you some help right now. But being dead is kind of a big problem, right? But, you know, all the other problems we've got are not as serious as being dead. God said, listen, if I can raise Jesus from the dead, I can take care of whatever you need right now. Whatever problem you've got, whatever concern you have in your life, whatever you're worried about, I've got it, God says. I've got it. The reason the resurrection is important, it's about our past. We all got a past. Thank God it's forgiven. It's about our present. Right now, God's on your side. He's interceding for you. He's right at the right hand of God right now, the Father, doing business for you. And he's prepared a future for us. That if we go by the grave or if we happen to get gloriously raptured up in the glorious rapture, either way, we've got a great reunion day waiting for us on the other side. You can move from being a doubter to being a believer this morning. Trusting God. That's why it's important. Let's pray. Our Heavenly Father, we thank you that this morning you have given us the great joy and peace of knowing that your Son Jesus is alive. Right now, he's making intercession for us. He's preparing a place for us. As he said, in Father's house are many mansions. He's gone to prepare a place for us.
Lord, till that day comes, you've given us a responsibility. You've given us a commission. You've given us a job to do. Lord, you've commanded us to walk with you. You've commanded us to trust you. You've commanded us to live for you. You told us to take up our cross and follow you. You've told us just to believe and have faith. Lord, there are some days that those things are tough. I'm glad to know that because of the resurrection, it's all taken care of. We can trust you today for every need we have. Lord, I do not know what everyone's going through this morning in their lives and their families, on their jobs and in their schools, or in their communities, Lord, but I do know that you can take care of that. That you're powerful enough to raise Jesus from the dead. You're powerful enough to handle all of our problems and all of our needs, all of our concerns and all of our worries. Lord, I pray we just bring those to you today. Lord, the resurrection is not just about having an Easter service or Easter program and getting new clothes and hiding eggs and having a big dinner with our family. It's more than that. It's all about knowing that our past and our present and our future is all taken care of because of your glorious resurrection. Pray whatever need we have in our life, whatever we need to do to be right with you today, that we would do it in this hour. And this I pray in Jesus' name. And all God's people said, amen.